Thank you for participating. You guys can go back and head to your seats there. I thought we'd try to bring camp to you a little bit there. But if you have your Bibles this evening, if you turn to John chapter 9, and as you're turning there to our passage for this evening, I would like to say with our young people as well, a big thanks. Thank you, Pastor, for investing in the lives of young people. I know you did that for so many years as a youth director, but even as a pastor now, so thank you. Thank you to our church members. Several of our church members took the time to write cards. Some of our church members gave financially just so that our teens could go to camp. And so, church family, thank you for loving, for giving, and praying for our teenagers. And to our youth workers, thank you, Justin and Ashley, for taking a week off work and going with us. Miss Eva, for the last second. Actually, it was the last couple seconds. And Brother Greg and Miss Teddy, Brother Greg was supposed to drive our bus, and Miss Teddy wasn't feeling well. And so I called Miss Eva last minute, and she drove the bus for us. And so thank you so much for driving. And just thank you to our church family. I just want to let you know that your labor has not been in vain. And we're still praying for our teenagers and working with our teenagers, trying to encourage them to follow the Lord. John chapter 9, let's look at just the first four verses this evening. John chapter 9, verse number 1. It says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." If you'll look back at verse number 4, and if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible or just making note, the first three words, the words of Christ, is the title of our message, the thought for this evening. Jesus said, I must work. I must work. I mentioned to you earlier that there were three highlights so far from my summer. The trip to Jamaica, the trip to Southland Christian Camp, and the other I didn't get to mention. I had the opportunity to go back to North Carolina. Brother Keith, there it is. He said, how are you going to get Brother Ron involved, and how are you going to mention North Carolina? Well, that's it. Earlier this summer, at the beginning, I had the opportunity to go back and visit North Carolina. And one of the reasons that I wanted to go back was to see several people that were influential in reaching me with the gospel. I went back and saw my bus captain. He's up in his 70s, not doing well health-wise, but I met him at a parking lot. He was actually getting ready to leave out of town, and I saw Brother Doug and gave him a hug. And I just wanted to tell him thank you personally for his investment in my life. Shortly right after that, I went and met a lady named Joanna Bazin. She was my youth director's wife. She had given so much, even as a teenager, for myself to be part of the youth ministry there. I met my pastor and his wife, Harold and Peggy Blankenship, and I told them thank you personally for investing in my life. I met my bus driver, the guy that used to drive every Sunday to my house, honk on the horn, and pick me up for church. His name was Hub Chris. I said, Brother Hub, I just want to say thank you. For all those mornings, you would wake up early, giving up your time, driving to my house, picking me up for church. I met my Sunday school teacher and children's church director, Miss Linda. And I tell you all that is because there were people that God used to help get me the gospel. On July the 11th this year, 2021, I celebrated my 23rd spiritual birthday. Maybe you're here tonight and you ask, what does that even mean to have a spiritual birthday? Well, I'm glad you asked. I acknowledged that I was a sinner and understood that the penalty for my sin was death and separation from a holy God. But I believe that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we can have peace with God. Who is it through? It's through Jesus Christ. The point this evening with that, just as an introduction, is I did not do anything to earn my salvation. Amen. How many of you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal? Would you raise your hand? Do you remember the day? You can put your hand down. Can you take us to some Bible verses? Maybe not just an emotional moment, but to some Bible verses that can confirm that you are a Christian, that you know without a doubt that heaven's your home. If you're a Christian, we all have the same testimony. We are all saved by grace through faith, period. Amen. There is no one able to work their way for their salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, would you turn there? Ephesians chapter 2, just a few pages over, verse 8 and 9, very familiar verses. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The question I have, and the answer I'd like to give to you this evening is this. What happens after salvation? What happens after salvation? The point is this, if you'll look to verse number 10. The Bible says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The message or the thought this evening is this. We who are Christians were created to work. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12, Paul says that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So I guess I'm just trying to lay the groundwork. We don't work for our salvation, but because we are saved, we do work. We're to work out our salvation. And one Bible scholar said, it is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. Another writer said, we are not saved by faith plus good works, but by a faith that does work. In the book of James, one of the themes for the writer is that saving faith always results in a changed life. It is not enough to say that we have faith. We must demonstrate this faith by our works. First, this evening, do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? I hope that you can say yes. Second, are you working out your salvation? Are you working? Not for your salvation, but are you working out your salvation? This afternoon, I ran across one of our church members, and they were eating a donut. And they said, "You caught me." I said, "What do you mean?" As they were eating this donut, I wasn't like the donut police officer. But you could tell there was a guilty conscience. And that person's laughing because they're in here. I really shouldn't be eating this donut. And I thought, eat the donut. It looks good. Enjoy it. You know? Yeah, but I really should be on a diet. My wife won't be too happy. I said, "Well, I'm not going to tell her. It seems like you need to tell her." I walked away. Taking care of our bodies physically, exercising, dieting is important, right? How many of you understand that, right? We're not practicing it too much, right? But I would say in a spiritual sense, it's important for us to diet and exercise as well. It's important for us to work. For just a short period of time here, I want us to look back at John chapter 9, and we find this story of Jesus Christ healing this man that was born blind from his birth. Let's look real quick. Now, you'll have to go back and read the story for yourself. There's 41 verses. We won't take the time this evening. But it's a beautiful picture of God's saving and healing grace. Look at it again. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Verse number 2, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Instead of here ministering to the need of the man, they wanted to have a theological debate. We're guilty. Instead of making a difference in this world, you know what we want to do? Argue, fuss, fight, talk about politics and what's not right. We find that here in verse number 2. As I was reading on, even in one commentary, we find that, look, all physical problems are the result of our fall in Adam. For his disobedience brought sin and death into the world. The writer says to blame a specific disability on a specific sin committed by specific persons is certainly beyond any man's ability or authority. Only God knows why there are handicaps. And only God can turn those handicaps into something that will bring good to the people and also glory to his name. And so as we read on in this story here, they're having this debate. Why was this man born blind? Was it because of his parents? And possibly there are things that parents can do that would affect their children. It goes back to Exodus chapter 20, I believe verse number 5. The sins that you are involved in now will affect generations to come. Pastor, it shouldn't surprise me, but sometimes I am working with young people and then I talk to families and they are so concerned about their young person, but yet they're not right with God. Like they don't come to church. And they sometimes come Sunday night. And they sometimes will listen to the pastor. But then when things are falling apart, they wonder what is going on. It's possible. Now, I'm not blaming you or myself. But it's possible because of our actions and what we're sowing, our kids are reaping that. Does that make sense? So that's why the disciple says, well, maybe it was because of his parents. And so as we read on the story here, Jesus says, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And then you have the miracle that's about to take place. Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, the Bible says he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Verse number 7. And said unto him, now Jesus is speaking to this blind man. What does he say? Go wash. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And this is the phrase that has kind of caught my attention. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. How did this man receive his sight? How did the miracle take place? Maybe this evening you're in need of a miracle. I don't know what it may be. Maybe it's something at home, or maybe it's something with family. Maybe you need a miracle at work, or school's about to start. You need a miracle to take place. Maybe it's something personal in your life. This man was healed when Jesus put clay in his eyes and told him to go wash. The Bible says the man went. That means he obeyed. May I say it this way? He worked his way for this miracle to take place. The Bible says that he went, he obeyed, and he came back seeing. What's the lesson as we come to kind of a conclusion? There are times where we wait for God to perform a miracle. As a matter of fact, Pastor, in the last few Sundays, has reminded us. Recently, Jesus stepped out. Pastor talked about in the storm. The winds were blowing. The waves were coming. He stepped out and said, what? Peace be still. And immediately, there was a calm. The miracle took place by us doing nothing. Just waiting on God, and God performed a miracle. What about the maniac of Gadara, Pastor talked about? When he saw Jesus, his life was changed. He didn't have to do anything for it. But did you know there are many times in the Word of God and throughout the miracles that we find where someone had to work or do something or give an effort before the miracle took place? For example, do you remember the man that was crippled? He was healed because four people worked. They brought that man to Jesus Christ. A miracle took place. What about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead? He was in the tomb there, but before Lazarus came out of the tomb, what did he tell the people? Roll the stone away. There was an effort that needed to be made. Work had to be done. What about the woman with the issue of blood? She said, if I could just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, guess what? Then she was healed. Before the multitude of fishes were caught, the disciples had to cast their net to the other side. The miracle took place. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? Yeah. How did that take place? Jesus, without a doubt, could have said food, bread, manna. It all could have happened. But Jesus waited for a boy to give of his lunch before the multitude was fed. Amen. Conclusion this evening. We often talk about waiting for a miracle. But have you ever considered working for a miracle? I'm not talking about working for your salvation, so don't get lost or confused. That's settled. That is settled when Jesus said it is finished. Amen. But I believe that many times, even myself, Tony, I need to be reminded to work out my salvation. And that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. My challenge, I guess, to us, to the church, to the young people, look, the summer's coming to an end. In a sense, a new season's about to start. School's about to start back up. We need to work. Jesus said, I must work. The challenge to you is, look, if you don't know that you're a Christian, you don't know you're saved, get saved. But if you are a Christian, look, I've been so lazy, lackadaisical, just kind of going through the pandemic and the coronavirus, and I'm not minimizing any of that. But I think as doors are opening back up, let's we who are Christians, who are the light of the world, we are to roll up our sleeves and let's jump in with Pastor and the church family, and let's start working again. Do you really want a miracle in your life? Let's work for it. VBS is about to start. We need some workers to work. The bus ministry is starting to roll again. We need some bus drivers. We need a hub, Chris, that will jump on a bus to drive a bus to go pick up a Tony Segmini. We need someone to work. And so I want to just challenge us to work out our salvation. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Let me give one closing illustration, and I want to share a picture with the church. At camp, I met a young man, you see here, by the name of Jeremiah Rodriguez. It was his first year at Southland Christian Camp. Not as a camper, but as a worker. He was actually not even a counselor. All the counselors get all the glory. He was part of the operational staff. As I was walking to the next youth activity down at the field there, I saw several guys just cutting grass, weed eating. I mean, it's like 100 plus degrees. And so he's like on the side of this hill, weed eating, going to town. And so I wasn't making a rush to get to the activity, but I kind of stopped and I waved him over. And Jeremiah comes over. I said, I just want to say thank you. I stuck out my hand. I shook his hand. He smelled like sweat really bad. Smelled like grass. Wasn't really pleasant. I said, what's your name? I said, my name's Jeremiah. I said, my name's Tony. I'm the youth director. We brought a group here. I just want to say thank you because this camp could not take place without your efforts. And I want to let you know that your labor has not been in vain. He went on weeding. The next day, guess what I see him doing? Cutting grass again. Like he's not playing basketball. He's not playing big ball volleyball. He's not doing camp cheers. He's just cutting grass. I stopped Jeremiah. Jeremiah, come back. Just want to shake your hand again. He probably thinks I'm crazy. Jeremiah, I just want to say thank you again for serving here at Southland Christian Camp. I talked to him a little bit more. I said, I'll let you get back to your work. That evening, I caught him at dinner time. I said, Jeremiah, tell me a little about yourself. He said, I'm from New York. I said, have you been to camp before? No, this is my first time. And the whole time, from the very first time I met him to that dinner moment, smile on his face, just the joy of the Lord. He said, I'm just trying to get through school right now. I said, college? He said, no. High school? Yeah, something like that. Found out some more. He's just struggling through his academics a little bit. He said, someone recommended that I come down here and work. I just really want to serve the Lord with my life. And he spent some time with Cody, who's the maintenance man there at Southland. And Cody's been an encouragement to them and talking to them about maybe going to some sort of trade school to learn some sort of trade and serving the Lord. Hey, his labor is not in vain. He's wanting to just follow through. And through Jeremiah's life, he taught me something that week. I got to get involved in working. Because what does working do? I know this sounds crazy, but working brings joy. Amen. Maybe in just a few moments, Brother Corey, we can sing that hymn. There is joy. Joy in serving Jesus. And I saw it all over his face. And at the end of the week, we were leaving. Jeremiah came out. I just want to say thank you for talking to me this week. I've enjoyed serving here. Thank you so much, Jeremiah. Not only does serving and working for Christ brings joy, but working for Christ brings rest. That seems like a really complete opposite. Pastor, you'll have to preach some other time. I believe it's from Hebrews chapter 4, speaking about resting in the Lord. The more you work and labor for God, the more rest you actually have. You know why sometimes Christians, even as church members, we live so frustrated and miserable and down and without rest and tired? It's because we're not working like we should. Working brings joy. Working brings rest. And then when we see here throughout the miracles of Christ, working brings miracles. I believe that at any moment, God could step out. And a miracle could take place in your life. But I believe many times he's waiting for you and I to say, what are you willing to do, Tony? Are you willing to actually give the effort? Yeah, you need a miracle in your life, in your home life, but what are you willing to give for that? And that's the challenge and the message for all of us. God's been dealing with me. Tony, let's roll up our sleeves. Let's encourage our pastor. Let's jump together and serve with our youth workers and the people in our church. And let's make a difference for Christ in our community. Young people, let's get out and work. Jesus said, I must work. Let's work out our salvation. Would you pray with me? Head bowed and eyes closed. Thank you so much for your attention this evening. Father, I thank you for the opportunity we've had to go to Southland Christian Camp. People like Mike and Amy Herbster, all those that are working for our involvement there at camp. Thank you for the testimonies that were given. Thank you for our pastor and our church family that is investing. And I pray that you'll just help us to be reminded from this passage, this miracle, that we are to roll up our sleeves and get involved in the work of God. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, we're going to have three parts to our invitation. Miss Madeline will play something. Brother Corey will sing here in just a moment. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have to start there. You can't work for your salvation. Jesus has worked it for you. He's paid the penalty for your sin. Why don't you come? In a moment, we'll stand together, and we'll have some people here, our workers at the altar. They'd love to take a Bible and pray with you. Maybe you're here and you're thinking about joining our church, maybe needing more information about what it takes. Our pastor will be here. He'd love to talk to you. But really, the message, the third point, the invitation is for everyone else who is Christians here at Worth Baptist Church. Would you make another commitment that you're going to get involved in the work of God, that you're going to work out your salvation? Start somewhere. Let's hit the reset button. Let's get involved in what our pastor's doing here, what our church members are doing. Let's all be a part of what God is doing. Let's all stand together here. However God has dealt with your heart, the altar is open, the invitation's for you. Brother Corey's going to sing.